From the Partnership for Public Service, you're listening to Transition Lab, a behind-the-scenes look at presidential transitions. I'm David Marchik. Today on Transition Lab, we're lucky to have Dave Barham. Dave has had a distinguished career in and out of the government, including in senior roles in a number of high-tech firms. He was chief financial officer at Apple, and after that became Deputy Secretary of Commerce, and then the head of the General Services Administration from 1996 to 2000. The issue of something called ascertainment, or when the General Services Administration starts the post-election transition process, has been in the news recently. And Dave was at the center of a similar news cycle in the year 2000 during the Bush v. Gore election, when he had to make a decision on ascertainment. So Dave, thanks for being here, and it's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
So we've been friends for a long time. We've known each other for almost 30 years. Before getting into the substance, but how's your jump shot doing?
Well, I'm an old guy, and I have to shoot pretty close to the basket these days, but I shoot foul shots a lot. And I have this little plan to shoot consecutive foul shots, 100 minus my age. So I have to shoot 24 this year. Haven't got there yet, but I've gotten there the last 10 years. And my old basketball friends are amazed and happy for me, because even the guys who are a lot better than I are happy for me because they've stopped playing.
Now, I remember when we used to play, you called some cheap fouls in my recollection. You still call those cheap fouls, or you are more generous with the...
You're wrong about that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the issue of ascertainment. So let's start with, tell our listeners what GSA does.
GSA has a couple of functions, but, you know, I like to think of it as the agency that provides a lot of business services like technology, telephone, vehicles, buildings. I mean, we had, I think, 300 million square feet of office space around the country, maybe some number of billion dollars in collected rent. And there's, I think I saw the other day that GSA is now accounting for like $75 billion of goods and services that flow through the procurement schedules and other things to the other agencies.
So GSA is mostly dealing with procurement. It's pretty much a non-political agency. It's a good government agency. What is the specific role of the GSA administrator to determine the outcome of an election so that the post-election transition services can start?
Well, as you say, a good government agency, and so that ascertaining the apparent winner was a very small part of the administrator's job, except in the days right around the election. Let me tell you what led up to my needing to even ponder what that word ascertain meant. Obviously, I knew what the word itself meant, but not in this context. And I was not expecting to end my almost five-year run with GSA, over five-year run with GSA with this. My deputy came in a week before and told me about the role I would be expected to play to ascertain the apparent winner. I didn't think a lot about it because such an unsettled situation had not occurred in my adult lifetime. The result was always clear, almost always clear, on election night, maybe one or two days later. But I was asked to be interviewed by either ABC's Diane Sawyer or Charlie Gibson on the sidewalk in front of GSA on the morning after the election. They wanted to watch me, I guess, symbolically hand over the keys to the transition office space in about $5.2 million then, I think. I guess I thought that would be the extent of it. Dad, I came in the morning after the election to a whirlwind study of the law, but no particular advice on what to do. And there was no apparent winner. I thought the law was very clear. It was up to me to ascertain the apparent winner, no more, no less. No guidance in the law, no suggestion to get advice anywhere else.
So why did you delay ascertaining a winner in the year 2000?
Well, it was pretty simple. It was all about Florida, one state, and something like 537 votes. Everyone knew that once Florida was settled, the winner would become clear. I don't believe any media after the first night when the media first called it for Gore and then it backed off and called it for Bush and then backed off that. I don't think any media were calling it for Bush. the AP had not called it, and you know they're sort of the gold standard of who calls it.
So when you were in the job in GSA, and obviously it was a tense time, obviously Vice President Gore was running against Bush. Did someone from the White House call you and say, we'd really like you to have this outcome? Did you get pressure from the White House?
The answer is no. Bill Clinton knew me well and knew that I would do the right thing. John Podesta was the chief of staff, and he knew that also. A couple of times I briefed John, but he never suggested in any even tiny way what he thought I should do. And I really respected that. John was an honorable guy, he still is. So there was never any worry on my part that he would do that. And he had a lot of work to do to help the agencies get ready for the transition to a new president, whether it was George Bush or Al Gore. And even though they never pressured me in any way, I still appreciated John's professionalism. And I appreciated that Bill Clinton never weighed in. After all, as you say, their candidate was their good friend and sitting VP. That hands-off behavior they did was how it should work. I hope it happens that way again.
And so the eyes of the world were on you. And what were you thinking? Like, what was your guiding principle in determining how you were going to make this decision?
Interesting question. You know, in my business life, if I had made decisions based on other than evidence, I'd fail my colleagues and employees and likely cause our business to fail. So as I had done during all my almost 8 years in Washington, I fell back on that business experience, get the facts and act on evidence. And one other thing, my dad was a Baptist minister and my education was at an evangelical high school and an evangelical college. I disagreed at times with some specific theology and tenets, but I never imagined once that I should not do the right thing as I saw it. And at least as important, very personal to me, my mother always counseled me to do the right thing and live with the consequences. She was a saint, and I certainly was not. But to understand me and these critical characteristics, it would help to know her.
My last question is, the election in the year 2000, 537 votes, one state, that state was determinative to the outcome of the election. Whoever won Florida would win 270. How does this election, in your view, differ from the facts and the evidence from the year 2000?
Well, I think it's dramatically different. First off, all these media outlets who call the election have called it for Joe Biden. I think the winner is pretty clear. But I sympathize with GSA Administrator Emily Murphy, but you know, I have confidence in Emily to do the right thing. I'm expecting the best from and for Emily. We G administrators have to stand together. So I hope it works well for her, and I hope it works well for the country.
Well, Dave Barham, thanks for spending a little time with us. Thanks for your wisdom. And most importantly, thank you for your 8 years of service to our country.
Thank you very much, Dave.
If you like Transition Lab, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.